There are so many fabulous faraway places to see, such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to thought-provoking talk on Dresser After Dark.
And desert oasis, pleasant as home is, it isn't what Rome is, so why stay there when there are so many fabulous faraway places to see?
Michelle Canlon with us. She is the author of Common Threads, 10 Life Stories, How Women Weave Tribulation into Triumph. She retired from a very successful commercial real estate career, and through the San Diego Rotary Club, she's been instrumental in a capital campaign that raised millions for the Monarch School for the Homeless. And let us say, Michelle, hi. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. I guess really, if I've got the book in my hands, and I guess if I really take a look at this and I look at Common Threads, the life stories and how women weave tribulation into triumph, it's called, I guess the core message would be, when you get knocked down, take all those lessons and use it for your inner strength and get back up and do something else with your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The whole concept was, first of all, that we all are weaving our tribulations and challenges together because we all have them. And secondly, we're not alone.
Okay. And you started out with a pretty tough life, and all of those tribulations for you, those were probably your greatest learning lessons, weren't they?
Absolutely. Without those, I probably would be not nearly as tenacious.
Now, by the way, don't ask me to spell that. I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks. But when you really come down to it, you know, all of the women that you interviewed, was there kind of an overarching theme, something within every one of them, that certain common denominator that caused them to move forward, that every time they got hit, they got back up? Is there something inside, inert, that doesn't come out until you need it?
Every single person that I interviewed and that I documented were people who just refused to give up, people who had this ability to just stick with it and keep fighting and not take no for an answer.
Okay, so that word no is a very interesting word. There's so many people that are frightened to death of themselves. They're frightened to death of what somebody's going to think. Where do you think that comes, that time in their lives when they realize that no is their most powerful weapon?
I think, first of all, they have to do an examination of themselves and where they came from and what happened to establish their own personal standards. I started accepting don't ask, don't cry for a long time, and it took me having to take a very thorough self-exam to realize that it's okay to ask why, it's okay to say no.
Now, by the way, there obviously are some problems that go along with us with that. When I say that, it's like grief. Grief has a process. There's certain stages that you go through. But also in growing in this way, is there also a process that you go through, that you have to go through the recognition of it, and then each one gets a little lighter, but you still have to go through it?
Absolutely. And if you're not willing to step out there, if you're not willing to take a risk and fail, which has been the common denominator for my success, is being willing to fail. And without that ability to fail, you don't learn. And I think that's been the common thread all the way through these stories of all these women, is they're all willing to fail with the understanding that that lesson will help them succeed.
Now, if you go back over your life and all of the things that happened to you that caused you, and I'm going to say the word hide. You know, I read the press release and I have the book. But that's what happens. People hide, and they hide because they're afraid to come out and say no. They hide because they're afraid of what somebody's going to think. They hide because of consequence. And I realistically believe when it really comes down to it is when they turn around, whoever they is when you decide you're not going to hide anymore. Like me for who I am, or there's the door.
Absolutely. And I think it takes the ability to have the courage. And that's one of the common threads through all these stories, is that they have the courage to say, okay, enough is enough. I am worth it. Self-respect is non-negotiable, and I am worth more than this. And I think that's when every single person in the book has shined.
No, two things also. One is when you decided to write a book. You write a book like this, and your world, you're open to the world. You're as vulnerable as you're naked out there, quote-unquote.
Yes.
And that had to be scary.
It was scary for me. It was scary because I also had to talk to each of my children and explain to them that I was going to be telling some stories they'd never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And that was scary for me. But it was also real therapeutic because a lot of the things I talk about in the book, I've never told anyone. And it was actually therapeutic to get it out there.
There was, see, Michelle with the kids, and I can understand that. See, mom is mom. Mom doesn't go through that stuff. Mom is not a human being. Mom,
exactly.
Right. And I've thought time and again, my mom passed away in 1993. She was 83 at the time that she went. And I sometimes have a hard time when I go back and I look at old pictures or I talk to some of the relatives and I see pictures of her as a girl. I have a hard time realizing that, you know, when she had me, she was only 32 years old. And I would wonder what I would tell a 32-year-old today as old as I am. So, you know, moms are, they're kind of ageless. They were never babies. They were always adults and they were there to take care of you.
That's correct. And I think that the other thing that was difficult is for me to admit to them that I had made some poor decisions. And that I'm not perfect, but I did something about it. And to help them learn the lesson that we're not measured by our adversity, we're measured by what we do about it. And I think it was a good lesson for them.
Yeah, but how did the kids deal with it when they took a look at it, when they sat down with you? What kind of response did you get?
My older son was quite surprised, but he's pretty mature, and he had to learn the scary truth that his dad raped me.
Yeah.
And my younger son, I used part of his life lessons as lessons for other people in the book because he had to go through quite an evolution himself. And he said, Mom, do you know how hard this is for me to read?
Wow.
And so it was very difficult. But I said, do you know why I wrote about you? And he said, yeah, I know, because you're so proud about how much I've grown. I know that.
Yeah, but when you come down to it, the growth, yes. But now all of a sudden, there's nothing to hide anymore.
That's right.
And there's nothing to get quiet about. There's nothing. It's there. And how powerful is that?
Yes. And I think that part of the challenge is sometimes in our lives, like in my life and the lives of people I know, there's all these little secrets in there that you never want to talk about. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's humiliating. And I think once we are able to get it out there and realize that we can talk about the issues and problems we've had because other people have had them, and how do we overcome them, and how do we grow from that? I think that's the biggest challenge, and it's part of the reason I wrote the book was because I wanted people to know that we're all just regular people that have made mistakes, but we can sure give you some lessons. You don't have to learn them all yourself.
Sure, and I think those people that are in judgment, for the most part, those are really the people that if you opened up their lives, there'd be some very interesting things coming out. But, you know, we all have something in our lives, things that we don't tell, that we hide. And for whatever reason that it is, it's those very things that the more we hide, the more controlled we are by other people, because I don't care what you think you're hiding. Everybody around you sees it.
Absolutely. And I think that the other thing is that you feel like you're the only one in the world that has the problem.
Sure.
And if you can share that problem with other people, you can help them gain control of their lives as well. And that was part of the writing this book, was to help, the message is to help people gain control of their lives and to help them be encouraged and know that they can make amazing things out of their lives if they're willing to take that risk.
Yeah, because there's nothing unique. Everything is derivative. There's not a problem that you can come up with that somebody else hasn't had at one time or another, and the majority of people probably have the exact same problem to a little different degree. It might look a little bit different, but if you peel it away and you get down to the bottom, it's all the same thing. And I think that that a book like this, it really, what it truly is, Michelle, it's a legacy.
Yeah, it is a legacy. I hope it's a legacy that I am proud of the way it turned out, and I hope that my family and my children will be proud of it. They each have read it, and they feel good about it. My husband's very pleased with it, and my friends are saying, gosh, I had no idea that this had happened in your life. I had no idea. You're such a sunny personality. How would I have ever known that you were molested when you were four and you were, you know, a child of a drunken, abusive dad and all these things that went on in my life?
Yeah.
And they say, gosh, you know, how come you're so happy? well, why not?
Yeah, absolutely, why not? And I think realistically, when you know you've made it and you know you're there, is when your husband comes in with flowers for dinner and says, can I have your autograph? You know you're there.
Yep, that's right. Yep. He's a delightful supporter, and I couldn't be more blessed to have him in my life.
That's great. Now, by the way, do you have a website we can find you at?
I'm at michellecandlin.com.
C-A-N-D-L-A-N-D, michellecandlin.com. And can we buy the book there?
Absolutely. You can buy the book there as well as on Amazon.
Wonderful. Hey, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a great fun.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.
I can only give you love that lasts forever, and the promise to be near each time you call, and the only heart I own for you and you alone. Well, that's all. That's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime.